Hello, God bless you. This is Brother Howard with a word of encouragement for daily devotion. I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for your words of encouragement. And I pray that God's word will dwell richly in us, that we can be blessed in Jesus' name. Today is the second to the last day. We'll wrap up tomorrow. And I hope these mini sessions have been a blessing to you. I typically don't go more than 4 or 5 minutes on teachings, but for whatever reason, my heart has been pouring out on a few of these things, and I believe that it's God's word that is needed to come out in this time. God bless you. Back to the word of God. John chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Where are those accusers of yours?" You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. A woman we know as believers of the Word of God represents a church. When we want to understand how we are supposed to relate to Christ and how we treat Christ, how we feel Christ, how we get lured away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can look at what is happening to women in our modern society, because the natural things always type the spiritual things. And God put all of these things together to help us to grow in our knowledge, in our directions, for the glory of God. So Jesus Christ is not an accuser of the brethren. However, when we're caught in a fault, when we're caught in ignorance, when we're caught in sin, the presence of God shining light on our faults is for us to be redeemed, is for us to be delivered, is for us to get that acknowledgement that we have messed up, and he wants us to rise up from that situation so we go and sin no more. I want to talk today highlighting the issue that is pressing in the hearts of so many brothers and sisters, which is marriage, or shall I say, the lack thereof. But I'm going to use the word of God to tie some things together real quick. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 says, "And he answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." So whether it's from the scriptures, it's from teachings that you hear on the tapes, it's from brothers anointed of God, it's from inspirational words that you listen to, God speaks in so many ways. We are taught that God also speaks in nature. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, if you believe that I'm a servant of God, whatever is coming out of my mouth under the inspiration of the Almighty is the word of God. If you believe that God sent a prophet, what comes out of his mouth in teaching you is the word of God. When you read the Bible, that's the Holy Writ. That is definitely the word of God. So everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that is what we live by. But God tells us that that's not the only thing that we live by. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, which means you live by bread. There's a word there that I want us to focus on. That word is alone. Man lives by bread, but that's not all. You also live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what is this? There's a dichotomy here. In our physical realm, we have to provide for our families as brothers. We have to work very hard. We have to put food on the table. And in the spiritual realm, we have to be the priests of our homes. We have to lead our children and our wives before the Lord. That's why the Bible says in Genesis, it said, "I know Abraham, that he will instruct his children after him." He instructs his children, his family. God understands this man has it down pat. How do you have a complete lifestyle where in the physical you're doing well and fulfilling your obligations and your responsibilities, and in the spiritual you're fulfilling your obligations and responsibilities? It comes from being thought properly. It comes from being born of the Spirit, because it's only God that gives you that understanding. But then what has that got to do with marriage? Well, because today we realize there seems to be some sort of apathy towards marriage. I was a youth teacher for 16 years. I taught youth for 16 years. And in those 16 years, I've learned that majority of our brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters growing up, they have nothing to follow. Marriages in the church are not attractive because brothers and sisters are not treating their spouses the right way. There is no romance. There is no love. It looks like the sisters look so happy. They look miserable together. I've been married for 14 years. There was no example really for me to see. But when I got married, I made a decision to be the example that I never saw. Yes, my parents were married since 1969. They were a very loving couple, but they were not Christians like that. We want Christian marriages to be heaven on earth. We want our wives to be jewels beside us. And we want our children to see good examples of what it means to be a Christian couple. There should be no marriage that is happier on earth than that of a Christian. But sometimes we over-spiritualize everything. We forget that we are living in the natural world, even though we have a spiritual version in our bodies. A man is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. Let me repeat that. A human being is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. So there are natural things that we'll connect with in terms of eating, drinking, and our five senses. And there are other things that our natural senses do not help us with. That's a spiritual thing that we call the sixth sense comes in and helps us with that. So when it comes to marriage and things, we have to train our sons and our daughters. Because what I'm seeing nowadays, especially among the youth, they're growing older. There is no attraction. Why? Because the lifestyle they are living is very, very bad. The Bible says, let the older women teach the younger to love their husbands, how to stay at home, how to be responsible, how to care for the children. Do we actually allow for the older sisters to do that? Every time you're raising your child, that girl that you're raising somebody else's wife. Let me ask you a question. I have four sons and a daughter. The sons that I'm raising, I will ask my wife a question. If she were to be a young girl, is that an ideal kind of partner she's praying for in the sons that she's raising, in the sons that I'm raising? The daughter that you have, the daughter that I have, if I were to be a young man looking for a godly sister to marry, if I look at my daughter, who is not even 1 year old, she's going to be one in November, is that the kind of a girl that I'm looking to marry? See, brothers and sisters, we are not doing well. We have to look at ourselves and give ourselves honest evaluations. We are failing in our basic responsibilities of raising our children in the way of the Lord. That is why when they grow up, they have no direction. They have no desire to get married because they don't even understand what marriage is. And those who get married, they don't get successfully married. When I was raising youth, it was very surprising to me. Majority of them were just wishy-washy and upside down. But by the grace of God, we are brothers on this line that can testify to this. Every single sister that was under my teaching that I raised as a youth, I married them off as virgins. All the young brothers, I married them off. All of them, we had 100% success rate. Until the jealous believers threw me out of the church. Why? Brothers and sisters, there's so many things that we are doing that is affecting the generations behind us. We have to be circumspect in all that we do. Jesus Christ came and found this woman and he said, I don't condemn you. A lot of our young people are clueless. They have no idea what is out there. Because when they're looking at those ahead of them, you see sisters in their 30s, people in their late 20s who have gone out into the world. They've they've sinned, they've fornicated, they've committed adultery, they've been caught in the act, and they're coming back. And that stigma of what you carry makes it very difficult for you to attract a spouse. And these things, we just ignore them and act like they're not happening. But God is here to give us grace. Let me read you one final scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I mentioned part of this yesterday. We're going to go ahead and see what is going on here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll pick from verse 3 to 9. It says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor." Listen, sexual temptation will come to you. I don't care how anointed you are. If you're a preacher, it will come. I don't care if you're a prophet, if you're an evangelist, if you're an apostle, it will come to you. If it does not come to you, it will come. When I married my wife as a virgin. I was a virgin too. We stayed in the will of God for our lives when we're single. We're courting for 4 years. I never touched my wife until 2 weeks after I married her. For the past 18 years, there's no woman in my life, even before I was a Christian till now, that can accuse me of approaching them or actually trying to do anything with them. That woman does not exist. But that does not mean that I should not learn how to keep my vessel in sanctification and in honor. Because every day you and I leave, we'll be challenged with immoral people in this world. Because marriages are failing and people are coming for your marriage. They're coming for my marriage. They're coming for your daughter. They're coming for your son. We have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to attack the enemy. We have to be prepared for the onslaught of evil against us. We have come to that time when the scripture is being fulfilled, where 7 women are grabbing a hold of one man to take away their reproach. Brothers and sisters, this is serious business. The moment you put on the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and you identify as a Christian, the enemy comes after your purity in your spirit. It comes after your purity in your body. That is why you see ministers that are on fire for the glory of God. They go to a country and they get attracted by a woman and boom, they've fallen into adultery. Boom, they've fallen into fornication. But we have not learned how to recover our brethren. Instead of being compassionate, helping them to get back on their feet, helping them through repentance, we cast them away and we call them serpent seed. That's not how Jesus approached this woman. He knew she had a weakness. Brother Bram talks about a story of a man who was married to a young, decent Christian sister. He had just become a convert. And she told him on the day of the wedding, "I know you used to mess around. You was a fornicator. But I want you to know, if you go out there and a woman entices you and you do sin, please come back home. I will forgive you." Oh, God. There is forgiveness in God. There is deliverance in God. Because of our attitude, our lack of understanding, our lack of allowing the Spirit to take over, we have pushed many brothers out of the church, many sisters out of the church, when we should show love to recover them. I'm not saying we should permit sin in church. Please don't misunderstand me. I am saying there's a greater level. There's a greater understanding. There's a greater sense of love and forgiveness that believers should have to recover those who have been wounded by the enemy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 4, verse 3 to 9, said, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Our cleanness, our holiness is the will of God. "That ye should abstain from fornication." Fornication is sexual intercourse between unmarried parties. If you sleep with somebody and you're a married man or woman, that's called adultery. Said that every one of you should know. It is something we should know. It is something we should understand. We should allow the Spirit to teach us. We should allow our spiritual guides, which are the preachers, to teach us. We should allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. We should actually delve into the scriptures ourselves and learn these things. We should learn, you should know how to possess your vessel. He said, his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, the worldly people. It said, verse 6, that no man go and beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. That means you don't go after your neighbor's wife. You don't go after my wife. I don't go after your wife. You don't go after somebody's husband. They don't go after your husband. We need to be holy, brothers and sisters. Don't go around looking with lustful eyes. Allow the Spirit of God to take care of your eyes. Like Job, he said, I've made a covenant with my eyes, lest I look upon a maid. Let the Holy Spirit make a covenant with your eyes. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you hear. Said that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth, despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. May God bless you, brothers and sisters. Let us possess our vessels in honor. Let us teach the young people to get married. Let us teach them to live in holiness. Let us teach them to live in purity, sexual purity. And let us also live in purity so it can be good examples in Jesus' name. Father, may you bless us this day and give us grace. Forgive me for going over 15 minutes that the brothers have prescribed. And I pray that you bless each and everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll wrap up tomorrow. God bless you.